Thursday night, late. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this third Sunday of Lent. I have lots of announcements that are very important, so listen intently. We will not pass offering plates today. Ushers, are you listening? They're going to be in the back, so you can put your offering in that as you leave or at whatever other point in the service you wish. The baptismal font is empty because we've learned that if you put your hands in water with the coronavirus on your fingers, guess what? It stays in the water, so there's no water. And there will be no common cup today. We will use the common cup just for the blessing of the elements. And both Kathy and I will be wearing gloves during the distribution of communion. And there will be no midweek service this week. We will be sending out an e-blast and whatever it's called to let you, with the Trinity News online, we'll let you know if there's going to be church next Sunday, but I'm pretty sure there won't be. We may put together a group of people to do something for a recording, but we're still working on that. So does anyone have any questions? Yes, Ruth Ann. Carol Ann, good Lord, I'm sorry.
There'll be no Wednesday night brothers.
Pardon?
Welcome will not be needed.
Okay, no welcome, nothing on Wednesday. Okay, no circle meetings.
I'm wondering about Justice Matter Solution briefing on March 23rd. Do we have any word?
Oh, Alita, you haven't been getting emails, but we all got an email that they're going to put it onto an online format. So they're sending out an email for how people can access that. So if people don't have a way to access an online format, they're probably going to have contingency of how to be able to have access to view. It'll be online.
Did everybody hear that? The Justice
time,
Matters
day,
things on the 23rd going to be online. Anyone else? Oh, that Lenten meal's canceled as well. I'm sorry. Thank you. I also heard that some of you are circulating a petition to see if KU can be declared the national champion. I'm really bad, you know that. If you're comfortable in standing, please rise. By the way, I'm not wearing vestments this morning because this is going to be a different kind of worship service and we live in different kinds of times. I'll probably be back in my full regalia in a couple weeks. So. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We keep silence for personal reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess to sin and we can't free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not
loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will
and walk in your ways,
to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin. and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. And now we're going to join together in our opening hymn, Give Me Jesus. And can we do 1, 3, and 5, Megan? Okay, thank you. Verses 1, 3, and 5. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is in Exodus, the 17th chapter. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Jesus did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving. Raise a loud shout to the Lord with songs. For you, Lord, art a great God and a great ruler above all gods. In your hands are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice. Harden not your hearts, as at Meribah, and as on the day at Massah in the desert. There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works. 40 years I loathed that generation, saying, "The heart of this people goes astray. They do not know my ways." Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come to rest. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
The second reading is from Romans, the 5th chapter. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, and near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon, and a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." And the woman answered, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. And just then his disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city, and she said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? And they left the city and were on their way to him. And meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you did, for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony that he had told me everything I have ever done. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Anybody here?
Here comes Rowan. Hi. How are you? You doing okay? Uh-huh. Good. Did you have a good week?
Yep. Me too.
All right. Well, I'm going to read the story today. It's called, it's a folk tale. It's about the three trees. One, two, three. This is a very good book at this time of year, I think. Yeah. Once upon a time on a mountaintop, there were three trees that stood and dreamed about what they wanted to become when they grew up. Now, these are very small trees, right? They're not very big yet. I know. The first little tree looked at the stars twinkling like diamonds. I want to hold treasures. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. That's what that one's saying. And then here's the second tree. The second tree looked at the small stream trickling by the way of the ocean. I want to be a strong sailing ship. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world. The third tree, which is this one, looked down to the valley below where busy men and women were working. I don't want to leave this mountain at all, he said. I want to grow so tall that when people stop, they will raise their eyes to heaven to look at me and think of God, and I will be the tallest tree in the world. That's a pretty good wishing. But then, years had passed, the rains came and the sun shone, and the little trees grew. Look how tall they are now. One day, three woodcutters came and climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter cut down the first tree. This tree is beautiful. It will be perfect for me. With a swoop of its shining axe, the tree fell. Now I shall make a beautiful chest, thought the first tree. I shall hold wonderful treasures. The second woodcutter cut down the second tree. This tree is strong. It is perfect for me. With one swoosh of his axe, the second tree fell. Now I will sail the mighty waters, thought the second tree. I shall be strong ship to fit for kings. Then the third tree, look at him, he's cutting it down. He's only got an axe. That probably took him a long time. The third tree fell with her heart sink as the last woodcutter looked away. Woodcutter looked her away. They stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven. But the woodcutter cut her down anyway. Now, the first tree rejoiced as the woodcutter brought him to the carpenter shop and was busy making things out of him. Did you know that's where they get wood from? Is from trees. Okay. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasures. It was coated with sandpaper and filled up for hungry animals and was made into a feed box. Now, the second tree, who wanted to be a boat on the mighty ocean, instead, once a small tree, it was hammered and made into a simple fishing boat. It was still made into a boat, but not one that would go on the ocean. And the third tree was confused when the woodcutters cut her down and made strong beams out of her and set her in a pile. Many, many days and nights had passed. The three trees forgot their dreams. But then one night, a golden starlight poured over this tree, the first tree, and in it sat a newborn baby. "I wish I could make a cradle for him," her husband said. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled and straightened the stone on the face. "This manger is beautiful," said the mother. "Which baby do you think that is?" "It's a yellow baby. It's baby Jesus." "Yep. Okay." Then one evening, a tired traveler and his friends came on a big fishing boat. Soon the thundering, thrashing storms arose, and the man stayed on the boat, and he raised his hands to the storm, and he said, "Peace!" And the storm stopped. And suddenly, the second tree knew that he was carrying the King of heaven and earth. Do you know who this man is right there? It's Jesus. Jesus. And finally, on Friday morning, the third tree was startled when the beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched as they flung her over a shoulder and through an angry crowd. She shuddered when the soldiers nailed a man to the cross. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose, the earth trembled with joy. Beneath her, the third tree knew that God loved had changed everything. It had made her the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. There was better than being the tallest tree in the whole world. The end. So that story was about how three trees wanted to be something so special, but they couldn't be so special. But when they were cut down, they were made into something special, right? One of them was made into a cradle that held Jesus. One of them was made into a boat that Jesus rode on, and the third one is the one that Jesus died on the cross, right? Yes. So for you today, and unfortunately you're my only one, I mean, I'm really happy you're here. Thought I was going to have to do this all by myself. I have a wooden cross for you that I took out of wood that I made from my house last night. And every time you look at it, remember how Jesus loves you and how special wood is to Jesus, okay? Okay. You want to say our prayer? Okay. All right. God loves me. Jesus is my friend. And church is a great place to be. Amen. Thanks for coming up, Rowan. Kept me from not doing anything. Yeah.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. The presiding bishop of the ELCA, Elizabeth Eaton, reminded us this week in a letter to all of the churches that in 1527 there was a plague in Wittenberg, and Martin Luther, as he did every time anything happened, he wrote a tract about it and published it, and in it he said that it is our duty to care for the neighbor, the responsibility of government to protect and provide services to its citizens. He cautioned about recklessness and the importance of science, medicine, and common sense. Pretty good stuff, huh? Good old Martin. I'm going to spend a little time doing a kind of change about the woman at the well. Have any of you ever thought about why the woman at the well was there at noon in the heat of the day? I mean, everybody else came at 5 and 6 in the morning to get the water for the day. But she came at noon because she was a Samaritan. She was ostracized. This is social distancing of the highest order. She couldn't come any earlier because she would have been mocked and vilified by all of the Jewish women who were there getting water from the well. So it is interesting that she wanders in at noon and there's this guy sitting there. And Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink of water." You remember the words? How do you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? And they go into this kind of back and forth, and Jesus is teaching her all about what it means to be in the presence of the Messiah. And it's a really lovely thing, but there's also a kind of flirtatious element here. And then Jesus really zings her. He says, "Go get your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." And then he says, "Right. You've had 5 husbands, and the guy you're living with now isn't your husband." And then she understands he's a prophet. You see, one of the things that Jesus does when he comes into the world and works and does all of the things that he does is he says, okay, there are going to be no categories and no judgments. And I can take a drink from a Samaritan woman. I can have a conversation with the Samaritan woman. One of the great modern theologians observed that this is a holy conversation. This is all about God and the kingdom of God and about the presence of God and the wonder of God and all of the things that Jesus is revealing to this poor Samaritan woman. Now, watch what happens. See, this is the fun stuff, because the church shows up and it's the disciples, and they show up and they want to know what he's doing talking to this woman. Then she goes to the village. And you know why this is a Lutheran scripture? It really is. Written in the first century, but it's still Lutheran. Because the first thing the disciples say when they have a moment is, "You need to eat something, Rabbi." And it's probably, you know, it wasn't, but it could very well be green jello with bananas. You see, they don't get it. Right in front of them is Jesus doing a teaching, having a conversation with the Samaritan woman, talking about the kingdom of God, talking about living water, talking about never being thirsty again, wanting the community to come, and that was also striking. So, what does this have to do with where we are today in Lawrence, Kansas, and the United States of America and the world, when we're all being plagued by the coronavirus? It has to do with what we should be doing. It has to do with what Martin Luther observed in 1527. We really need to take care of each other. Now, you have to realize that in 1527, preachers were really privileged. And most of them would have probably fled the scene. They would have gone away when the plague hit town. And Luther said, no, the ministers have to stay. The public officials have to stay. And what we need to do as a community is we need to band together and care for each other. We need to be responsible to each other. And we need to really express the love of God for each other. So think about the woman at the well. Think about living water. Think about life. And think about this community of faith that will love you every day in all of the ways that we need. In Christ we pray. Amen. And now, if you are comfortable in standing, please rise as we join together in singing our hymn of the day. And as the deer runs to the river, can we just do 1, 2, and 4? Is that okay?
We're going to be saying the Apostles' Creed, pounding chapter 105 at the front of your hymnal, page 105. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ. Turn your hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful. We pay for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of living water, send your church beyond boundaries to proclaim your grace. May it witnesses be source of refreshment for thirsty souls. Strengthen our voices that all people who can know and believe that Jesus is the true Savior, is truly the Savior of the world. Hear us, O God. God of living water, protected from pollution and misuses over all the rivers, lakes, oceans, and streams. Bless the work of those who dig wells, those who advocate to access the clean water, that all people and animals have enough to drink. Hear us, O God. God of living water, open the hearts of leaders and authorities that they hear the cries of suffering and acts with compassion towards them. Bring each to disputed lands and bring reconciliation to people divided by race, cultural, nationality. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, mend the hearts of those grieving with broken relationships, whether by conflict, abuse, divorce, or death. Draw near to all who are ill or in need of your love, especially those whom we name before you either in silence or out loud. Assure those questioning your presence in the midst of doubt or suffering. Hear us, O God. God of living water, renew us in the promises of baptism. Join us together in worship, fellowship, and sharing your good news. Embolden us to serve others and to work for justice and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, we thank you for those who endured suffering and now boast for the glory of God. Pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts and give us peace as we live in the hope of salvation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this community of faith, and we give you thanks for our care for each other. And this day we pray for Lawrence, Kansas, the greater Lawrence area, the state of Kansas, the state of the United States, as they seek to contain the pandemic of the coronavirus. And be with all of those in the world who suffer from that. Bless them with your hand, your presence, your healing, and may each of us understand that it is not a time to be selfish or judgmental, but it is a time to be caring and forgiving. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all of our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask you just to remain where you are for the exchange of peace, and we will just do it verbally as I ask for you to do that. The peace of Christ be with you always. No, it's coming up. It's coming. Remember, as you leave today, to place your offering in the offering basket in the back of the church. Thank you. Thank you. I need the basket of bread that's back there.
Please rise. Holy and generous host, we set a table where our feast as good friends. Prepare us to witness to your goodness and every gift you have given to us to share, that all people may know your peace. Through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Just a service note, we are going to omit the Holy, Holy, and the Lamb of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty, and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same manner also, when the meal was finished, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Because of what God in Christ has done for us, because of this, the bread of heaven, and this, the cup of salvation, we are bold to come and receive these gifts of life, and as we come, we are bold to pray. Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. Thine power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are God's gifts for you, God's people. Come and receive them, for this table has been prepared just for you. All are welcome.
Christ.
Christ given for you.
Able, please rise. We thank you, living God, for the body and blood of your Son, which sustains us in the wilderness and in the gardens alike. As Christ has loved us in the feast, so send us to the love of Christ in our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Holy God, speaking, spoken, and inspiring, bless us, unbind us, and send us in love and in peace into the world. Amen. Our concluding hymn today is a marvelous expression of what we probably need more than anything else right now. Praise the one who breaks the darkness.
songs. And Tom will be back there, and they'll just stand around the piano, and Jennifer will lead them.
For the cemetery?
Yeah, sometime.
Yeah, I...